didn't cross his mind.
Tell him I swept.
Okay, live from Reduction and Tests. Yeah, for the Shmai. Here are the booklets. Okay, an exciting sugya today. The Muktzah, the sugya of Tiltal Lagufo and Tiltal Min Hatzad. The Siyata de Shmai, the way we're going to look at the sugya, which is extremely important, sugya lamaisa, in instances where one needs to move the Muktzah, how. Is there a way that one can be metatil, even though objectively tiltal is aser? So the way we'll learn it is through the Beis Yosef and Simen Shin Yud Aleph Sif Ches. Let's do the Beis Yosef inside, and Mir Hashem, from this Beis Yosef, will catapult us all the way to Halacha L'Maisa. So the Mechaber, the Tur says as follows: Shin Yud Aleph Ches Tiltal Min Hatzad L'Tzorach Davar Mutar Mutar. If one is being metaltal from the side, we're going to need to define what that means. If you're doing it not for the muktzah item, but for some item that's mutter, then it's going to be permissible. Hilchach Mos Sheshachach Al Akar. If there's money that's found on a pillow, Noyer Es Akar, when allowed to shake off the pillow, the Hei Noflois. So that would be Tiltal Min Hatzad. You're shaking it from the side, and that you're being metalta of the muktzah. One way of defining the tiltum and atzad, in this case, the way I would define it is incidental moving it. So then, in such a case, that would be permissible. Chain, another example, snon shetaman ba'aretz, if there's a radish that is in the ground, umitzas al megulin, and it's a part of it is revealed. In other words, you were able to get at the radish without touching the dirt, which is muktzah. Noitzla, you're allowed to take it out. Even though when you're taking it out, you're going to end up incidentally moving the earth from its place. Incidentally means that you're not moving it directly. You're not moving it with your hand. The exact definition, as I said, we're going to develop according to different poskim what that is. I'm intentionally leaving it vague. The tour, very importantly, puts together another different type of ancillary movement. The way in which we normally move is with our hands. The way we move items is with our hands. So we have one heter called tiltal min hatzad, which we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to start from the sugya, but since the tour crunches it so nicely, so we'll first just see how the tour presents the terms. And then there's tiltal min hatzad, which was incidental moving, that you moved it by moving another item, you moved the muktzah item. And then we have another thing that he puts together in the same category called the tiltal begufa. So the tour continues, the tiltal begufa, afilu tzarach davar asar mutar. But if you're moving it with your body, so then in such a case, then it's even better than tiltal min hatzad. Tiltal min hatzad is only going to be mutter l'tzorech davar hamutter. So the best example is going to be the tznon. You're pulling out the tznon that's not attached to the ground, but it has muktzah around it, the dirt, and you're incidentally moving the dirt. Your motivation was l'tzorech davar hamutter. You wanted the radish, which was mutter, so the halacha is that that's going to be mutter. If, however, you were moving the radish because you wanted to move the dirt, that would be asr. That would be l'tzarach davar asr. So the Torah says, v'tiltal begufa yafil l'tzarach davar asr mutter. Here, when it comes to one's body, even if it's l'tzarach davar asr, it's mutter. Hilchach kash shal gabi amita, if you have straw on top of the bed, v'hu muktzah, minano begufa ve'im, period. That's all we need for now. You're allowed to move the kash with your body, even though the kash is muktzah. So, according to the tour, who's following his father, the Rush, Rabban Zion pointed out, and we're going to see that it does play out in the Magen Avraham, that the Beis Yosef point already alludes to the fact that the Ran has a different approach, but according to the Rush, and this is going to be halacha l'maisa according to most, one would be allowed to move a tiltal begufo, even l'tzarech davar ha'asur, And tiltul min hatzad is only going to be mutter letzarech davar hamutter. Where do all these categories come from? So now we're ready to start the sugya, we're ready to start the Gemara. Says the Beis Yosef, tiltul min hatzad tzarech davar hamutter mutter. The perikira, ahadam rinan gavi meis. The tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. So the starting point is a Gemara in Kira mem gimel amem beis. There the Gemara tells us that one is allowed to move a mace from bed to bed. That is going to be called tiltul min hatzad. If you move a mace from bed to bed, that is called tiltul min hatzad. And the Gemara there says it's usur because that's called tiltul. So in one place, on Mem Gimel on the days in Shabbos, the Gemara says tiltul min hatzad is problematic. And all the Rishonim are bothered, tells us on the spot. And the Rosh and Simon Yotes, as well as the Rif, they ask the Ashkechan the Tiltul Min Hatzad Lo Shmei Tiltul. There are many instances where Tiltul Min Hatzad is not Tiltul. One of the examples is the example of Snon that we mentioned before. Andach Nun on the Beis. There, the Gemara says that you're allowed to pull out the Snon, and it's called Tiltul Min Hatzad. Tiltul Min Hatzad Lo Shmei Tiltul. So we've got a stira, and all the Rishonim develop the same answer. The classic dialectic, the antecedent to Brisker methodology. The Tirtzu, the Trei Gavne Tiltul Min Hatzad Ninu. There are two types of Tiltul Min Hatzad. The Kol She'ikar Tiltulo Mishum Davar HaMutter. If the Ikar Tiltul is being done for the Davar HaMutter, in other words, for the radish, as we described, the Davar HaMutter Hu She'metalto, Ela She'yefshe Loi Letalto Oise Davar HaMutter, Elim Kei Yitalto Limo Davar Aser. If the only way to get to the radish is by pulling out the radish while incidentally moving the dirt, then it's going to be permissible. However, Aval, skipping a couple words, but if your primary motivation for tiltul is due to the dvar aser, Afal pisha metaltal oisem min atzad ki hafa, shutzarech letaltal hameis machmas atzmai, shlo yisriach bechama, asur. But if you're rolling the mace from one bed to the next, so there you're doing it letzarech davar ha'asur, in such a case, that is going to be asur. So Rabosai, we have the heter of tiltul min atzad. The heter of tiltul min atzad is incidental moving. You're not allowed to move the dvar muktza for the dvar muktza itself. However, if you're doing it, if it's incidentally moving the muktzah, like pulling out the radish and the dirt falls away, so then in such a case, that's going to be mutter. Now, our sugya would be woefully incomplete if we didn't see the Rabbeinu Yonah's kasha. What's critical over here is the kasha that Rabbeinu Yonah asks, and from there we're going to see developed the categories of tiltul tegufo and tiltul min hatzad in a much sharper manner and will apply in many more instances. Because of Arush, continuing on in the Beis Yosef, Shinyur Alchaz, Sh'Rabbeinu Yonah Hikshel Zemidin Kasha Alamita, Sh'minano Begufo. The problem with this Yisod is there's one Gemara that's against it. The Gemara in Kuf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph says that if a person lays down on straw, so then in such a case, that's going to be permissible. Farei Sham, to the Kashu Muktu Tzarech L'Tiltul. He wants to lay down and move the kash aside to sleep there. V'shayrina leila taltul v'gufa m'shun tiltul min hatzad. So how could all of the Rishonim, the Bali Tosos, the Rosh himself, how could they all suggest that the only time tiltul min hatzad is going to be mutter is when you're doing it only l'tzarech davar hamutter? Over here, when you're laying down on the kash, you want the kash to move along. You don't want to sleep on top of the kash. What happens is that the person sinks into the bed, and according to the Rosh, the kash covers him. And therefore, that l'chura is l'tzarech davar pa'asur. He wants the kash to move aside so he could sink in and have the kash cover him. And therefore, the question is, didn't we just learn tiltul min hatzad is asur? Because of Rosh. So here, the Rosh gives an answer, and the Rosh's answer is going to be halacha l'maisa. As Rabbi Zion pointed out, the Ran also gives a different answer, and that we'll see will leave the Ran in a very different place in terms of halacha l'maisa. Because of a Rosh, the lo kasha, the hasam af tiltul ein kan. Says the Rosh, no, 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 that's not even called tiltul. In other words, There's tiltum min atzad when you're moving your hands, and then, like the case of the radish, but over here you're being metaltel the gufay. So tzvei dinim, there's two halachas. There's two forms of tiltum that are not the normal forms of tiltum. One is tiltum min atzad, that is that you're moving, you're using your hands, but you're incidentally moving the mutzah. In such a case, then the halach is that tiltum min atzad is going to mutter only the tzarat of our mutter. But this is even better. Sharei eina metaltel biyadei, ela begufay kilachar yad. He's using his guf, kilachar yad. Of course, we've heard this term kilachar yad in Hilchos Shabbos before, in terms of a shinui. If you do something kilachar yad, then that's a shinui, that there are times that it's going to be mutter. So hilchach, afagav dilakashu muktzu tzarech, even though he needs the cash, medame leilot hilchum in atzad shu tzarech l'davar mutter. Now, most, when they summarize the sugya, stop with this rush, because the rush is the shita that is going to play out halacha l'maisa, and that's as codified by the tour, and that is that you have two dinim of an abnormal tiltum. One is when you're using your hands, but you're doing incidental moving, and the other is that when you're doing a movement that's considered entirely a shinui, and that's a shinui of tiltum begufa. And that's going to be mutter, even l'tzarech, Dover Hamutter. Let's just finish off with the Ram's Teres. The Ram Teres, the Asam Nami in a Metalglas Hadlush of Pnei, as Hakash Meneshit Sarachlo, El Pneshit Sarachlo Mita, the E'er Shelo below Tiltal Hakash. The Ram understands that that case is not considered Litzarech Hakash. You want to sleep in the bed. So therefore, that is not even considered Litzarech Dover Asar, that's going to be considered Litzarech Dover Hamutter. The Ram is assuming that there's no difference between tiltum begufo and tiltum min atzad. They're really the same thing. However, and I, in one place, the Gemara says that it's going to be mutter by kash. The answer is, because that's considered tzarech davar mutter, he disagrees either in lamdus or in mitzius, which we won't get involved with the Rush, who assume that that's a case considered l'tzarech davar ha'asar. The Ran says that's going to be considered l'tzarech davar המותר ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברי. Yes.
Rashi on the Gemara, when he's referring to Tiltum min atzad, he says it's Kilachar Yad.
Right.
So, meaning, it could be the Rashi disagrees with that, but if Tiltum min atzad...
The Rashi or the Ran?
The Rashi, meaning the Rashi, because if a normal... If the heter of Kilachar Yad and of Tiltum min atzad in general is because of the Shina of Kilachar Yad, and then beguf is just
I see.
I mean, why should be?
Why should be a different effect? Rav Shai is asking a good question that I'm not going to address today, and that is that Rashi seems to imply that tiltum min atzad is also kalachar yad. So yet we know that tiltum min atzad is more chomer than tiltum begufa. So obviously either you need to develop the two different kalachar yads, or Rashi has a different shita, because it's not a libah d'hilcha. So I guess we're going to have to leave it for now. But your point is a very valuable point. Okay. We're ready to jump from here all the way into the Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Ches. This is already, this Yisod, the Tiltum Begufo, is already Halacha L'maaseh. If you take a look in Siman Shin Yud Aleph Siv Ches, the way we read according to the Rush is the way it's codified, what we saw in the tour, without many changes. And we're ready now to work on finding a way to how to apply it. So we're going to jump to the Mishnah Brura's formulation right away, and then work backwards and see where the Mishnah Brura got it from, and how far to take both Lekula and Lechumra, the words of the Mishnah Brura. So it's a one-liner that the Mishnah Brura throws in where we left off in Siman Shin Ches. That's why I decided to do it now, because the Mishnah Brura felt that if we're going to talk about tiltal mutzah right off the bat, at least towards the beginning, we need to define what tiltal is. So that's what today's shiur is about. What is tiltal? So in Sifkot and Yud Gimel, the Mishnah Brura throws in the beginning as well, what is tiltal? Isa b'simin shin yiraf sifches. We're going to learn. The tiltal mutzah begufa, afilu l'tzarech davar ha-mutzah mutter. Dzeh lo nikra tiltal klal. That if you do tiltal of mutzah with your body, even if it's a tzarech davar mutzah, it's going to be mutzah, because it's not called tiltal. Interesting formulation. He doesn't say it's kalachar yad. He says it's not called tiltal at all. It's five lines from the bottom on page 209. Ulefi zeh, In munach eiz a davar mukta ala aretz. If there is a davar mukta sitting on the ground, mutter l'dachfoy beraglov. You're allowed to kick it. Kidei shelo yavo lehefsid. In order that it doesn't reach a state of hefsid. So the Mishnah Berurah advances, not on his own. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah is a digest. That doesn't mean it's not a halacha l'maisa sefer, but it's a digest. And the Mishnah Berurah over here it digests and summarizes the shita of the Magen Avraham and others, based on the rush and the tour that we saw, that tiltul begufa letzarach davar hamukta is mutter. And therefore, it's mutter dachlo raglov kidei shelo yavo l'idei hefsid. So far, so good, Rabosai? Okay. What's the source of the Mishnah Berurah? So there's two Magen Avrams. That's the Mishnah Berurah's source. Let's take a look at the Magen Avraham. In Simin Shin Ches, Sif Zayin. That's another reason why the Mishnah Berurah quoted in Shin Ches. We've mentioned in the past that the Mishnah Berurah feels very much kaput to the Magen Avraham. So we're going to try at the end of this year. We hope the Siyata Lishmaya will hope to get to that. All right. In the middle of the Magen Avraham Sifkatan Zayin, he says as follows: Isa b'Shabbos Daf Kufchav Zayin. The Gemara Kufchav Zayin Amid Aleph says that you're not allowed to make a new Otsar on Shabbos. However, says the Gemara, that if you have an otzer of muktza, otzer is a treasure house. Treasures don't necessarily mean gold and silver, but otzer in time of Chazal also refers to the area where you leave your apples to ripen and your wheat, etc., etc. So there the Gemara says, Shemutter letalta muktza beraglo derech ilufo. That if the otzer was already designated, but there isn't an easy path through the otzer, the halacha is that you're allowed to kick with your feet to make the derech in the otzer. So the Magen Avraham over here points out, based on the Melchamos, that the halacha is that one is allowed to use one's foot. So it could very well be that that's why the Mishnah Berurah got that, where he got it from. What's that based on, in terms of our halachic construct? So Magen Avraham, in another place, in Simin Shin He Siv Yud Ches, takes our comment, and he connects it to the machlokas. Here, Rabbi Zion, you have the machlokas between the Rosh and the Ran, the Magen Avraham in Shin He, in Sif Yud Ches, extends that to the machlokas of the Rosh and the Ran, and he clearly takes position and applies the shita of the Rosh, Lamaisa, against the Ran. The case that they're talking about in Simin Shin Hei Sif Yud Ches, if you only have your Mishnah Berurah, you could look it up also in the Mishnah Berurah, because most of it is in the Psak and the Shulchan Aruch. And that is an individual who has a horse that has muktzah that's sitting on top of it. He's arrived late before Shabbos, and he's got muktzah sitting on the horse, and it's buckling the horse. The horse the load needs to be taken off him. The problem is that there's muktzah that's sitting on the horse. So the Mechaber Paskins in Shin Hei Sif Yud Ches, park in Masui Sheolel, you'll be allowed to, with a Shinui. Ketzer Oseh, Machnis Rosho, he headbutts it. Tachas HaMasui, Umesalko Litzad Acher, Hunofel Me'elo. He's something along the lines of a headbutt, and he knocks it off the horse. What's the nature of this heter? Zot de Magen Avraham! It's the Ran. Rav Tzion had his Ran l'shitaso. Here's another Ran l'shitaso. It's the Ran and the Rosh l'shitaso about what they hold in regards to Tiltul Begufo. Because if you look at the Ran says the reason why. This is all the Magen Avraham. I'm not saying any. I'm not saying Rav Chaim's l'shitaso. This is a Farish of Magen Avraham. Says the Magen Avraham, and he does this the Derech Ramiza, the Derech of the Kodesh. He says the Ran himself explains that that's mutter over there because it's Tzar Balei Chaim. Tzar Balei Chaim, that's a halachic value. Tzar Balei Chaim, it's mutter. Why? Because Tiltul Begufo is not mutter l'tzarech davar ha'aser. You're not allowed to do it l'tzarech davar ha'aser just because you want to get it off. However, according to the Rosh, it's going to be mutter because I already told you, says the Magen Avraham, or I'm going to tell you in Shin Ches, that already the Rosh has a Gemara that's mashma that derech hilucha is mutter. That even though you know that you're walking and you're kicking it and you're being metaltal muksa de gufo, so the primary purpose is letzarech davar ha'aser. It's not what we call incidental moving a tiltal min hatzad letzarech davar ha'mutter. It's tiltal de gufo letzarech davar ha'aser. But we have a Gemara in Kuf Chav Zayin and we have the Shita Sarosh. All of these Magen Avrams add up to the Pesach in the Mishnah Brura. This is what brings the Mishnah Brura to his place based on the Magen Avram and the Gishmak of Ran, the Shitasai, and Emirz Hashem, where Rabbi Zion will add his Ran, but at the end of the day, this in terms of halachic material, this is enough to see the Ran and the Rosh disagreeing, and basically the Ran has been forgotten in halacha lemaisa. And the Rosh is Mahalach based on the Torah, etc., is the Derech HaMelech in terms of Pesach Halacha. So far, so good, Rabbosai? Yes, Rav David.
When the Rosh says Tzar Barachayim, he's saying that just Tzar Barachayim on the Rosh, most of what we're saying is that it's the same thing as the car.
It's the Tzar Chavra Mutter. Right. You could learn it that way. Yes, you can. You can that to say that that's called. That's called the Tzorech Davar Hamutter. Let's see quickly if the Maxis HaShekel makes your point. The Maxis, I don't see it in the Maxis HaShekel. The Matzah Shekel doesn't spell it out. The Levushei Srod. Let's see if he makes your point. He doesn't say. Both of them don't say it the way you're saying it, but I hear why. As far as I see, but I hear why you could say it that way. That's called the Tzarech Davar Hamutter as well. Okay, that's already in Lamedus. Okay, so this is the machlokas between the Mepharshim. Before we go on, let's just see a couple of limitations, halacha lemaisa, before we limitation and scope of these halachas. In other words, we have the Rosh, this is how we paskin. Now we want to test the scope of the heter. Tiltul min atzad, tiltul begufo, and what's considered the Tzarech Davar HaMutter. Those are the two things that we're going to do now. And then we're going to reassess the sugya entirely from the perspective of other poskim who will eventually lead us to a place that will be very different than the Mishnah Brura. And then we'll try to answer all the questions that the poskim ask against the Mishnah Brura based on Rav Shlomo Zalman's beautiful Mahalach. So first of all, in regards to the scope, halacha lemaisa lemaisa, one needs to be very much aware that the heter of tiltul min hatzad can't be used without discrimination. In other words, there are times that one should not rely on tiltul min hatzad. And that is brought out by the Mechaber in Shin Tes Sif Dalet. The Mechaber says, Shachach even al pichavis, o ma'os al akar, Mate chavis al tzida va'even nofelas, u'menar akar v'hamo'os nofel. This is a Mishnah on Kuf Membeis, and that's the sugya of buses that we're going to discuss in detail. But here we're not going to talk about the buses part. We're going to talk about the fact that this barrel is not a buses l'davar aser. The technical reason is because it wasn't left there intentionally. You're still not allowed to do lechatchila tiltul min atzad, even though when you're moving the barrel with the rock on top, the reason why you're moving it is because you want to get the wine out. So that should be called tiltul min atzad. That would be another example of incidental movement. Nevertheless, the halacha is that lechatchila you have to do niur. So Rabbosai, here is limitation number one to tiltul min atzad. Tiltul min atzad is mutter, l'tzarech davar hamutter. That's the halacha. However, tiltum min atzad is only going to be mutter l'tzarech davar amutter if you can't do neir. If you're able to shake it off, then you're supposed to shake it off. So, in the case of the radish, there was no way to shake it off. If you're stuck, and that's the only way to get to the davar amutter, then it's going to be mutter. However, if you could get around it, tiltum min atzad is not l'chatchila, it is b'diavad. That's something that's important to recognize, and it's brought down by all the poskim halacha l'maisa. So sometimes divrei Torah, anim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. You could learn the halacha and come away and think that tiltum min atzad is mutter. It is true, it is mutter, but there's another halacha in Simin Shin Tes that differentiates between whether you're able to shake it off. Let's continue on in the mechaber over there in Siv Dalet. V'im hoisa achad is bein achadios. But what happens if you can't shake the rock off? The inyan she'en yachal atoy says some in the kaima yachal agbia k'may shehi im ha'evin l'makom acher. Then, of course, as we pointed out, it's not a basis for technical reasons, and then you will be allowed to do tiltul min atzad by lifting it up and moving it somewhere else. So Rabbo said, we don't always do tiltul min atzad. It's always better to do neir than tiltul min atzad. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify the terminology.
Sure. Yes.
Isn't neir an example of tiltul min atzad?
It's one way of doing tiltul min atzad. But the point is that unlike, let's say, the heter of Letzarach Mekoma, right? Then once you pick it up, you're allowed to take it where you want. Here, if you're moving the item incidentally, which you would think should be mutter, Letzarach Davran mutter, if you could do neir, which is a nacharan, which is another form of tiltul min atzad.
It's only mutter to do neir in a case where it would have been mutter to
do nachon. That's correct.
If you can't do neir, Letzarach Davran mutter.
Correct. Correct. You wouldn't be able to shake it off if you wanted the rock. Correct.
How do you nair in this situation?
You would tilt the.
And what's the difference between that and actual tilt on its side?
Just lifting it up. It's lifting it up. Correct.
And then when is it falling off?
What's that? No. There you don't even need to knock it off. You now take it away from the chavios, and now you're able. The reason why you want to move the barrel is because you want to be able to access the wine. So if you could just simply access the wine over there and the rock is disturbing you, so you could just shake it off, that's what you should do.
Push
the barrel. If, however, it's bein achavios, and the rock, if you're going to knock it off, it's going to break another barrel, or some negative thing will happen, so then, in such a case, you're allowed to move it to another place.
And then
might not even be necessary to shake it off. In such an instance.
Why doesn't the Shulchan
Aruch? Oh, very good. Okay, that's a good question. Chazon Ish will have a good answer. Whether Mishabura is going to have a good answer, I don't know. But Eina Chanami, that's a good point. Why didn't you just rely on Tiltul Begufa over there? Yeah.
We also assume that you don't have to move all the other chavios.
Correct.
That could have been a halacha. Clearly, there's like a boundary to how much.
That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. I haven't thought enough about that. I hear what you're saying. That maybe there could have been another eitz, and that is to move the other chavios. I need to think about that. Okay. What is considered l'tzarach davar amutter? So one example that we've given of l'tzarach davar amutter is the case of the radish, is the case of the wine. So here, the poskim point out that there is a much more expansive definition of Tzarach Davar HaMutter in a Shaar HaTzion. The Shaar HaTzion is Simen Shin Lamed Zayin. Sif Katan Zayin speaks about a person sweeping the floor on Shabbos and sweeping a Davar HaMukza. But he's doing it because he wants the floor to be clean. So Shaar HaTzion says that that's called Letzorech Shabbos. So here we have an expansion of Letzorech Davar HaMutter. Up until now we thought that Letzorech Davar HaMutter means that I need that physical item. Now we see that Letzorech Davar HaMutter could also include that I need it Letzorech Shabbos. Letzorech Shabbos is going to be mutter. That would also be a heter of tiltul min atzad, l'tzorech Shabbos.
But
in parentheses, this is mamish gishmak, if you're in the mood next Pesach to do an exciting Hilchos Pesach sugya, which will dovetail amazingly with a lot of the iyun in Hilchos Motzah, is a halacha that we might have, I think, already made reference to, is the halacha of when one finds chametz on Pesach, what does one do? So the halacha is one is kofa lof kli. The Shulchan Aruch says beferish that during Chol HaMoed you could push, you could use a rod to push the chametz. What the Mechaber refers to in Simin Taf Mem Vav Sif Gimel as dochvol bekane, to push it with a rod. However, he says not to do it on Yom Tov, and the Mishnah Berurah explains because it's muktzah. So there's a great kasha that one could ask, but wait a second. According to the Shaar Tzion, we learned that there's something called Letzorech Shabbos, so l'chura this should be Letzorech Pesach, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So I put that maramakom in the parentheses. That would be a fascinating question in Siman Tafman Vav, Sif Gimel. Close parentheses. That's a fascinating question. But now let's go back to the fundamental. So yes, Rabbi Yaakov. The Shaar Tzion's case is you're a person who's sweeping on Shabbos.
So that is considered Tiltum HaMitzah?
Yes.
What do you mean to say that maybe that's not? I mean, if we understand it as we did Shinoi, then that shouldn't be a Shinoi sweeping. Because that's like the number one.
Excellent question. Excellent question. So the answer to your question is as follows. In this case, he's sweeping one thing. And it happens to be that there's dirt, that's mukhtzah, that's what he's bothered by. You're sweeping one thing, that's not mukhtzah. But those days, the floors were made of dirt. So it's going to be considered tiltul min hatzad. And the normal way a person picks up the dirt is not through... picks up what he doesn't want from the floor. So it's not through being the metaltal of dirt. So maybe we look at being the metaltal of dirt as a shinui. You would ask that that's how you normally sweep. And when you normally sweep on a dirt floor, both things are going to... Okay. So again, it's going to depend a little bit on the hemshif of what we're going to say. That's a nice ha'ara. It's a nice ha'ara. You'll see. It's going to be connected to what we're Mir Sashem going to discuss. So the heter over here of Tiltul Begufo, the Chayei Adam already points out, has limitations. The Chayei Adam says that this that we learned of Tiltul Begufo, one could ask that it's not so posh that the Magen Avraham is right. So we're now going, we summarized Tiltul min hatzad, we gave its halachic parameters of Tzorach Lavan Mutter. We're now going to go back to, we're going back to Tiltul Begufo, although Rabbi Yaakov, eventually we're going to end up discussing Tiltul min hatzad as well, both of what you and your Chavrusa have pointed out. We'll end up back in the place of Tiltul min hatzad as well. The Chayei Adam, which is the source of the Mishnah Berurah, actually is a little bit equivocal in terms of his endorsement of the Magen Avraham's Heter. Let's take a look at the words of Chayei Adam. In Klal Samach Zayin Seif Yudalid, Im Eino Tzarech Latal Tobi Dain Klal, Ela Begufa Eberaglov, Afilu Bishvil Dvar Mutsa, Mutter. The Zedlo Nikra Afilu Tiltul Min Hatzad. Tiltul Begufa is even less than Tiltul Min Hatzad. Ulfi Zeh Kishiner Chelev, Ukiyotze Bemuna Chala Aretz, if there is a candle that is on the ground, Mutter l'dachvo b'raglav. You're allowed to move it with your leg. The yesh osur and the son who say it's osur. Says in Ishmael Adam in Sif Katan, hey, wait a second. What's the Magen Avraham's heterim of Tiltul Begufo, which we saw, you know, bottom line, everybody's interested in the digest of the Mishnah Berurah. What is the bottom line in the Mishnah that the Mishnah Berurah was made on? What was it based on? It's based on the Magen Avraham. What's the source? So we have a rush, right? Okay. So he says, well, the Rosh would have one raya for his heter tiltul begufo from the Gemara with the Otzer, that when you walk through the Otzer, you're allowed to kick it with your leg. However, over there, is that your intention? Is your intention when you're walking through the Otzer to kick the Mukza? Letzorech HaMukza. No! You could argue that the Shaila is how are you allowed to walk through the Otzer if incidentally you're going to move the Mukza. And the Gemara says that you're allowed to do it, even you're allowed to walk through, even if you're going to end up being Mekalka. However, in a case in which the person's desire is to move the Davar HaMukza, like as described in both the Chai Adam and in the Magen Avraham, so then in such a case, we don't have a Gemara Mefureshet. What's the closest thing we have? We have a Rosh. We have a Rosh, but we also have a Ram that disagrees. It's not so clear that should be Mutter. So therefore, the Chai Adam concludes, in Samach Zayin Yudalit, V'yesh Osrim! You have, this is all based on the heter of the Magen Avraham, the Yesh Osrim, some would say it's problematic. Because even the Raya within the Shitas HaRosh, from the Gemara over there, is not such a strong Raya to be Matir, to be Metaltel, Bedochvo, Biraglov. What is the reason why, this Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Sion and asked me in Seder, that the Mishnah Berurah says that Tiltu Begufa is going to be Mutter, B'matzav shel hesed, presumably because the whole Chai Adam doesn't entirely endorse the heter. If you take a look in the Chai Adam, what was the Chai Adam's case? It was ner chelev ukiyotze b'munach al aretz. He's not talking about someone who forgot to put his laptop away and it's now sitting on the floor. It's talking about that there's a concern of fire. Or maybe it's a hefsid, maybe with the laptop be a hefsid. Let's say it's not a case of where it's a major hefsid. So the heter of the Chai Adam is not as expansive as one would infer necessarily from the Magen Avraham. He even concludes the Yesh Osrim. And hence it could very well be that the Mishnah Berurah picked up on these tensions. And he said it's only going to be mutter b'makom hefsid. In fact, the last page of the booklet, I photocopied the Dirshu. I think it happens to have been that today, even though it was a quiet day, because of Lag BaOmer, I couldn't find the Shevet Levi Chelek Ches. The Shevet Levi Chelek Ches. That's great. So the Shevet Levi and Chelek Ches, I was hafuch. I got a chizuk from it that somebody was working on the sugya. So the Dirshu quotes the Shevet Levi and Chelek Ches, who he understands that the Makom Hefsid is Pshuto Kimashmo. The Makom Hefsid is going to be Mutter. And that would make sense according to the Chai Adam. If you have a lamp, I'm not sure exactly what the Chai Adam's case, Rav David, I don't know if you worked on what exactly is the Metzias over there, but it's a Ner Shel Chelev that's sitting on the floor, so that is an instance where you're going to be Makom. But carte blanche to say anytime you have muksa, let's say you have in your room, there's your pencil. So just to kick it on the floor, that's not so kosher whether it would be mutter, and that's quoted, the Dirshu quotes in number 20 from the Shevet HaLevi. However, again, I have it on WhatsApp. Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen, if you want to see, I asked my wife to send it to me. This is new to me to get a picture of a sefer. My wife is a tzaddikus for years. She would like, sometimes she would run halfway across town to send me a fax of the day of Shir. Nowadays her life has gotten easier. Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen, though, does not understand it this way. I put it on the Mar Mekomos sheet on the front page. Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen on page 41 and 42. Says that the makom hefsid just means to emphasize that if it's not letzorech klal, it's going to be usher. In other words, the heter of total begufo needs to be letzorech Shabbos. I think that Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen is being a little bit of a, what do we call it, a loose constructionist. You're in law school, no? John Marshall, the Marshall Court. The Marshall Court was getting you ready. So the Marshall Court was very intervening the construction, the Constitution in a loose manner. That was when I did college courses unofficially in Tarvadas. I actually paid attention to what was going on once I got to YU. Then it was a totally different story. That was a course that I actually, when I started out, was taken seriously. I think it is a loose construction reading of the Mishnah Berurah and the Chai Adam to say that Makom Hesed doesn't mean Dafke Hesed. In fact, as Rav Ben Zion made me aware yesterday. I had read the Mishnah Berurah Lav Dachka like Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen. Most of the kids of Sfarim don't emphasize the Hefsid piece, but once one looks back in the Chayei Adam, one gets a sense that it's not in all cases one could always use the Heter of Tiltul Begufa. This is in the world of the Mishnah Berurah. This is in the Mishnah Berurah, and this is Halacha L'Maisa. Everything we've discussed up until now basically summarize Halacha L'Maisa of most of their the how we say it, the predominant approach to the sugya halacha l'maisa, starting from the original sources. However, there is a beautiful debate between the Chazon Ish and Rav Shlomo Zalman of whether this Mishnah Berurah makes any sense at all. And in Bnei Brak, there will be an entirely different approach to the sugya from the beginning to the end. And here in Yerushalayim, we will fight back, l'hagdil toru l'adira, to defend every single one of the Chazon Ish's bomb questions on the Mishnah Berurah, which is not really Mishnah Berurah. It goes back to the Magen Avraham, and then the question how to the Chayei Adam, that will become the Milchamta Shel Torah of the previous generation. Yes, sir.
So just so that I know, like, what am I supposed to do?
Absolutely. I'll tell you. I mean, I've been thinking about the sugya I was like you guys, my first year of marriage. I learned Hilchos Shabbos. I gave a chabura on the sugya. So that is what, Baruch Hashem, 23 years ago. I've been thinking about the sugya for 24 years. But this Mishnah Berurah, I've spent the day thinking about. So I need more time to think about.
Okay, well,
Shabbos
is
coming. I would answer as follows. That if I only had 2 days to think about it, so what I would say is as follows. I would say that what you should do is, if there is any significant hefsid, then definitely could. If it's inconsequential, then one should not. Not only because of the Chayei Adam and the Shevet HaLevi, but as we're going to see, there's a sheet of the Chazon Ish that's machmir as well. In our house, it becomes very, very funny because my wife, these shots come up all the time. So my wife will ask me, you know, if there's a Dvar Muksa, so she'll ask if she could kick it. So I will tell her that according to Chazon Ish you can't, and according to the Mishnah Berurah you can. So what my wife says, can I follow Mishnah Berurah? I say, absolutely, of course you can. But she knows that when I get close, I feel the Chazon Ish leaning down on me. So I have a little bit brisker narrative as far as when there's a shita that makes a lot of sense. But by the way, l'habdil al-falfei avdolos, my Rebbe Rav Nemetzal Shlita does that way very much. In terms of passing the Shaila, or passing according to the lenient opinion, it's a legitimate psak, v'chulei, but in his own anhaga, it's chumra gabe, in terms of his anhaga practice. In terms of amonam, he'll follow, knows if there's any room to be makel according to Mishnah Berurah, he would be makel. So I tell my own family that they could kick, but einachanami, where I am changing from in the last 23, 24 years, is that if it's mamish, something that has absolutely no, it's not very consequential for Shabbos at all, then in such a case it would be machmir. One thing I would add is b'makom shalom bayis, there's nothing more important in the world than shalom bayis, there's nothing more important than shalom and klal yisrael, l'chulei l'chulei. In my book, where I come from, that's a hefsid gadol ad ma'od. To make one's wife uncomfortable, that's as much as you having to write a check of $1 million. Halavai, I should live that every second of my marriage, but as an approach, that's for sure his approach. That, as far as I'm concerned, the Hefsid Gadol. Again, I repeat the line. So that's the Gishmak line for next year, for Shalom Bayis classes, and that is that if you make your wife uncomfortable, you should view that as much as if you had to write a check for $1 million. So if your wife is going to be uncomfortable, that would definitely, as far as I'm concerned, qualify as the Hefsid Gadol. Someone's going to ask me, what's the source of that? That's a Jewish heart. That's go ahead. I would kick you out, Rubensia, for being a Litva. Gavka, I'm like Boimer, even more than that. Yeah. I'm left with all the Litvaks. I'm out of place over here. Yeah, go ahead.
How come when they answer Moshe, right,
right.
They don't need to double it on the Shabbos stick. How come we didn't just say, so elbow it to the side?
Because
still
having
the Shabbos
In other words, well, it's going to hit the floor. You mean that elbow it and then kick it and kick it again and kick it again?
There's always a way out of these.
Okay. Well, right. Well, now the Chazon Ish is going to make Letzanis out of that. For your reason, the Chazon Ish is going to make Letzanis out of that. What was Rav Moshe's thinking? I need to think about that. Rav Yaakov?
I'm just. When we're talking about something the group of something that inside,
yes,
it applies across the board to all of books that have to kiss Lachala Israel.
Exactly. No, but for whatever reason, let's say you wanted to use that heter. Okay, Rabotai, let's go. Let's relook. We started relooking at the sugya already. The Chai Adam says that everything that the Magen Avraham had done was a leap. It was based on the rush. And then to say that it's going to be mutter always to be metalton the gufo, he says that's not so clear, and therefore only b'makom hefsid that he describes is he matir. But the Chazon Ish goes a step further. Chazon Ish says, who says that the Magen Avraham was right at all of the Das Harosh? He's wrong. The Magen Avraham Pashut misunderstood the whole rush. That's what the Chazon Ish argues. The Chazon Ish appears in the back of our Maror Mekomos. This, if you wanted to give an example of a piece in the Chazon Ish which reflects the power of the Chazon Ish's methodology as well as the power of his psak, this would be, you know, what do they call it, where they have a collection of the greatest hits, you know, and sometimes they'll do that lahavdil in literature, they'll take out a professor, just lahavdil his most important works and so on. I would put this in the top 10 of Chazon Ish's that I know, or maybe even top 5. This is a tour de force where the Chazon Ish says, let's go back to the Rishonim. In other words, the Chazon Ish in Vilna, being Mamshich, the Derech of the Vilna Gaon. Let's go back to the sources. Let's not be confused by all these Achronim. Let's go back to the sources. Read the Sugya again. Start from the beginning, and you'll see that if you're honest, says the Chazon Ish, you're going to end up in a very, very different place than the Mishnah Berurah. So the Chazon Ish starts out, and he says, our whole Heter Tiltul Begufa was based on a rush. We learned that Tiltul Menatzad is going to be Aser V'Tzatzarach Tavar HaMotah. So the Magen Avraham had said that you could kick a Muktzayim, even though you know you're kicking the Muktzayim. Why? Because the Rosh says, L'tzarach Tavar HaMotah. Says the Chazon Ish, wait a second. The Rosh is talking about someone who's laying down to sleep. He's laying down to sleep, and he's moving the tevem. He's moving the hay. That is worlds apart of a difference of someone who is giving a good kick to the Muktzayim to move it to another place. Says the Chazon Ish, the heter over here of the Rosh is a heter which is based on the idea that he is incidentally moving the item. Ela kavanas harosh. 7 lines into Sifkati of Beis. First 1 line is minatzad. She'en in shchiva al akash. She'en tiltul akash. That's not even called tiltul akash. Ela she'en tashkish ashchiva. He is simply lying down. Hilkach afen kavanas hashochel v'naris akash mutter. V'adim in yod, and I would crunch the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is saying, this is another form of tiltul minatzad. This is not a separate din of tiltul begufa. It's not a separate din. And Memela, says the Chazon Ish, the only heter we have in the books, the only thing you'll find in Shas, is that if you're laying down begufo, so then in such a case, if you're incidentally moving the Davar HaMukta, then even though you know and your interest is to move the Davar HaMukta, then in such a case it's mutter. But if you're not lying down and incidentally something else is happening, you're moving your body because you want to move the Davar HaMukta, then in such a case, the Chazon Ish says, it's going to be Aser. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says, what has emerged is a terrible mistake that the Mishnah Berurah has made. And that is, the Mishnah Berurah has allowed Tiltul Minatzad, both, we didn't discuss this, but we'll maybe I'll make reference in the future to this as well. Tiltul Minatzad, he's been matir Tiltul Minatzad with a stick, L'tzarech Davar HaAser, to push it away, and he's been matir Tiltul Begufo, Letzarach Tava Aser. And both of those things are entirely Aser. And therefore, the Chazon Ish concludes, in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, again, I would highly encourage you to read through the whole piece, Ulefi Ha'amor Ein Heter Klal, L'talta Muksa V'tchichas HaRegel, there's no heter to move Muksa with your leg. L'tzarach HaMuksa. Afladas HaRosh, Udiloka Mishnevura, Shin Ches Yud Gimel. The Kol Shekein Shemedivrei HaRamban, Arashba V'ritva V'aran, that was what you were referring to before, Rabban Siam. He believes that all of these Rishonim are going to hold that Aser. And he makes the same point that the Chai Adam made. By the way, I think that this Chazon Ish was inspired by the Chai Adam, who of course was in Vilna. This is so awesome, the Shalsholas HaNasara, to feel all the Chachmim are weighing in. The Chazon Ish is writing this in Vilna 20 years before the Nazis come. 150 years before that, 200 years before that, the Chai Adam already started this rolling in Vilna. It started rolling when he said, wait a second, that Gemara in Kuf Chazayin, that's only Derech Hiluchah. So Chazon Ish says that on his own. I'm sure he's inspired by the Chai Adam. And says that Gemara was only incidental. You were walking. But Mehechi Tesi, could you kick Mitzvah with your foot? So as I mentioned, bottom line, that's why I confuse my family when I say that. According to Chazon Ish, there's absolutely no heter of being metalkel the Dvar Muktza Begufa. He points out Sif Katan Yud Dalid that it's against the Magen Avram in Shin Yud Aleph Chav Dalid, and it's against the Magen Avram that we saw and the Magen Avram's Lashitaso. So it's basically the Chazon Ish starting the sugya from the beginning and having strong kashas.
Yeah, it's just not the lashon in the Rosh Hashanah Kashin Matata El Gufo, so we thought that was the heter of the Gufo, and he says, no, you need the context of it's the Gufo while he's sleeping.
Exactly, that's where the Chazon Ish come from in the words, correct. Who? Yeah, go ahead.
The original reading is more Pashin, though.
Then why? Then what? Very good. That's why I wasn't. Yeah. Okay, why? Why?
It means with your Guf, and that's what the Kilachar Yad is.
Oh, the Kilachar Yad.
And the truth is, maybe you could say that, answering the question that I sort of said before, maybe you could say, if you read like Chazon Ish, that question sort of falls away. I mean, he's saying Begufo Kilachar Yad, meaning like in passing, more than.
Exactly. Maybe, but that's exactly what I want to pick up with. However, it's not only the Magen Avraham. A great posek who was deeply influenced by the Magen Avraham points out, as Rav Shai said at the Lashon HaRosh, I think it's mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, a different world which then inspired Rav Shlomo Zalman to respond then to every one of the Chazon Ish's objections. And I think Rav Shlomo Zalman's inspiration comes from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav on the first page in Shin Ches Sif Tes Vav. The Baal Tanya writes, "Kol mutza ina asa elo taltalo kedarko b'chol." The iser of mutza to be metaltal is those things that it's a derech to do during the week. Da'ainu b'yodov, avu mutza taltal the gufo k'moshi yisbar b'sim shin yudalef. This v'zehu nikra tiltal kalachar yad. That's called tiltal yad. And here comes the whopper of Shai along the lines of what you were saying. But here the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says sharp. Shuhum b'shinui b'derechol. Ah! He used the word shinui. So the crux of the machlokas over here is going to be the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Magen Avraham, Mishneh Berurah, and so on. In their world, it would seem, at least the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says this, that the heter over here of Gufo is called a shinui. That it's mutter to be metaltel kilachar yad. Mutter to be metaltel kilachar yad. And that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, is the correct reading of the Rush. And Rav Shlomo Zalman will have rayos to his position, as well as nafkaminas. In Mincha Shlomo Simeon Yudalit, as well as in the Ha'ara, the only Ha'ara that Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote, the only thing that Rav Shlomo Zalman actually wrote in Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilkos that appears in the back of the Sefer, where he goes to town to try to defend the psak of the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah against the Chazon Ish's objections. And he starts with another halacha. He's going to base himself in longus in what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. But as Rav Nemetzal Shlita said to me, Rav Shlomo Zalman was mavliyah the longus. The longus was implicit. He didn't emphasize longus too much. He starts with the halachas. What's the halacha? Take a look at Siv Gimel in the Ramah. Siv Gimel in Shin Ches. The Ramah says blowing. V'chein mutl etaltal dvar muktzai dey mipuach. The law of the tiltal, elatul achiyah, glomikri tiltal. One is allowed to blow a muktzah item because that's considered tiltal kalachiyah. This is a ma'aril. So Rishon Zalman points out that from this ma'aril, it's quite clear that there is a heter called shinui. And that's what's going on over here. What we're discussing is cases of shinui. And Einachanami, the halacha is that one would be allowed to be metaltal b'shinui. Why? Why do we have, in general, we know that shinui isn't always mutter. So Shlomo Zalman has an interesting take. What was the source in the Gemara for the time of Isser Mutza? At least in the Gemara, was Atu Hotza. So Shlomo Zalman says, if tiltal is Atu Hotza, so then it's a gzeira l'gzeira once you have it being done with a shinui. So he wants to argue that the reason why shinui is going to be mutra mutza, because what's the chshash? I'm going to come to be motzi the item. Even if I'm going to be motzi the item, b'shinui, that itself is not yisur d'oraisa. So they only made the gzeira on tiltal b'yad, where you'll be over the yisur d'oraisa. But if you do it with a shinui, then in such a case, it's going to be mutra. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman says, based on this, we could explain a few halachas. He says there are some, I think the Chazon Ish himself, tried to bring a raya to his position at Tiltal Begufo is Aser, that you're not allowed to wear a shoe which is muktzah. You're not allowed to walk with a shoe that is muktzah. So the kasha is, yeah, the Chazon Ish mentions it. If you take a look, if you want to see where I'm up to in summarizing Rav Shlomo Zalman's retort to the Chazon Ish, it's on Tav Kuf Nun Tes. First word in line is Karui, that about 20 lines in before the Ramaskal Kula. The Chazon Ish brought a raya that if you have a shoe that is not lilbosh, it's usher to wear. So Chazon Ish says, you see from here, Tiltal Begufo is going to be usher. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, no. What's the normal way you metaltal a shoe?
On your foot.
So that's a normal way of tiltal. In other words, the hadara is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch Harav said. It's the heter shinui. Shulchan Aruch Harav is sharpening the Magen Avram. That was the ikve hamagen Avram. And then the next generation of Rav Nevensal Shlita points out in his Aros, it appears in your booklet, on Dor Dor V'Dorsha. It appears in your booklet right before the Dir Shu photocopy in the Yitzchak Yikare that the halacha is in the Mishnah Berurah that you're allowed to be metaltal the raglof, says Rav Nevensal, if a ball is muktzah. So that's a big discussion, how to look at balls today. Because Rishon speaks about a kadur, Magen Avraham speaks about a kadur as being muktzah. So we're not talking halacha l'maisa now. But let's say a ball was muktzah. So says Rav Nevensal, a soccer ball, that would be muktzah. It's a kick. But a baseball, and he doesn't talk about soccer and baseball, but a baseball would be mutter to kick. Why? Because a soccer ball normally kick. Ain't a phenomenon, you can't kick it. This that we learned in the Magen Avraham says in mutter metaltal begufo, is not a din that's not called tiltal if you're using your leg. And it's called tiltal if you're using your yadayim. No! It's a din of derech! And therefore, the heter tiltal begufo is a shinui. Once you have a shinui, it's going to be mutter. So therefore, a soccer ball would be usher to kick if a soccer ball is muktzah. And I would add, and Rav Nevensal did say soccer ball, but it's black and white. If I would add, a baseball would be different. Football would be a little confusing. But anyhow, a basketball would be easy. Basketball would be mutter, even though one of the boys called me alumnus that I didn't know last time I went out to play basketball, that the clock doesn't start. The ball is, you notice, the ball's not in the air. So the ball's not in the air.
Right.
So if you want to keep the time on the clock, see, then you would roll. You're not holding. So, what's that?
You're kicking the clock.
How's it work? But once you kick it, it'll start. Once it's touched. Okay. No, I just, yeah. So, enough now, you're right. It's not going to be an African Minofil for Shabbos at the buzzer of the game. So, at the end of the day, Rav Osai, so what emerges is that Rav Nevensal's Ha'ara is really an extension, of this, of the defense of the Mishnah Berurah that Rav Shlomo Zalman had suggested. That, by the way, that doesn't make the Chazon Ish wrong at all. The Chazon Ish has a very, very powerful point within the Rishonim. In other words, there is no source in the Gemara. It's a beautiful machlokas. Mamish elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. It's a question of how do you read the sources, and it seems clear that the Magen Avraham understood it his way, but the Chazon Ish doesn't have any bomb kashas. And we have a svara and avana for the Mishnah Berurah. Hence, most definitely, one can tell one's family to be metalto the goof, even letzarach davar amotza, as the psak in the Mishnah Berurah. The only thing is, as we added this time around, the hefsid would be a little bit more of an open question that the Mishnah Berurah did say only the hefsid. Rav Nevensal himself today, in a brief discussion with him, was nota more the chumrah, not the side of hefsid, but we didn't really hammer it out at ourselves, so I don't want to say it, that this is his halachic position. But at the end of the day, the point of the Shevet Halevi is a valid point. This b'siyata d'shmaya is a sugya tiltul b'gufo tiltul menatzad derech agav. Before I forget, it's going to be connected to next year. Just remind me next week. Rav Nevensal came out as far as the fan being letzorech davar hamutar. Klishim lachtol hetzel. Let's reset phrase that. Nevensal came out that it's a klishim lachtol hetzel. He thought it was a davar pashut, like Rav Shlomo Zalman had said, and which to me was a shocker. Which comes out that it's the one place where Rav Neuvert disagreeing with his Rebbe. Rav Nevensal also thought it was a davar pashut, and we'll come back. And Mirtz Hashem, Rav Yaakov pointed out to me that Taka in the newest edition of Shirin Shabbos Pilcha, so Rav Neuvert does say that Rav Shlomo Zalman had once told him it's a klishim lachtol hetzel. And we saw that also in the Shuvas of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Mirtz Hashem, will come back to that Mirtz Hashem Monday. Okay, this is the sugya. We're going to go on in Shin Ches. In other words, there's still a lot. Basically, what happened was that one line in the Mishnah Berurah forced us to define what Tiltal is, and that's what we did today. And now we're going to go back to the categories of Muktzah Machmas Gufa. Well, we really haven't done Muktzah Machmas Gufa. So we're going to spend a lot of time more defining Klisha Malachal Hefer as well as Muktzah Machmas Gufa, continue learning Shin Ches. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah said, so that gets right. That was what I was referring to when Rav Yaakov asked. And so now, so the question is: so you're asking as follows. What you and Rav Yaakov are asking. It's for sure, according to the Chazon Ish, it should be problematic. But you're asking, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, if we're going to explain the Mishnah Berurah based on Shinui, so then what would the heter be when it comes to sweeping? I wasn't amel on that question. I need to think about it. The one possible way of going is to say that it wasn't always normal to sweep also that dirt. We need to look over there in Shin Lamed Zion to see what we could do about that question. I hear that was Rav Yaakov's question earlier.